Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 512. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What's happening, good sir?
Hey, what up, man? How's it going?
Well, there has been a lot of wrestling in my recent past, it is not quitting anytime soon. This whole wrestling podcast thing has gotten a little out of control at this juncture.
When you said 512, like, what? Which isn't even, like, honestly, both of them, it's not even accurate. There's been so many other, like, wasn't there a, was it 400, was it 399.1, or was it 499?
Oh, I did 499.5.
Yeah.
And I was going to add a second dot that week, just waiting to get Eric on the show. And I've completely forgotten. Eric's like, oh, I can do that more often. And I've honestly kind of completely forgotten to get a hold of him. That has been a byproduct of work. It's just like, who's the easiest? Like, he isn't even a, I guess he's not even a thought just because he's been away for so long.
I like the way you said that. He's not even a thought. Oh, poor Eric. I did forget to text him Happy Father's Day. Much like every other one of my friends that has a kid.
Well, I like...
You should call polluters, not parents.
I liked his hold for swank pictures, so that makes up for it, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They're playing shows again. It's like, damn, popping babies, playing shows. I think he's living the life he's always wanted to, basically. So, God bless him. He achieved what he wanted to. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but no, when you were talking about wrestling, though, like, Shahid and I talked about it, we watched stuff, and that I watched, like, I hate the term hate watching, because I'm not, like, Raw this week actually was not boring, so that was kind of nice.
Oh.
And then they just saved it all for Raw, because this SmackDown's been not very good. But then I was going over all of the other wrestling, like, I'm watching more wrestling now than I think I ever have. But less WWE. Like, I watch MLW.
Uh-huh.
And, I meant proper at WWE. Like, actual WWE. NXT, I watch the UK stuff, which has gotten a lot better for anyone who kind of thought it was boring at the beginning. Was it New Japan?
Yeah.
Which I stupidly just canceled all New Japan World, so... Guess who's got to sign back up for it?
You cancel it just in time for the G1.
Like, cancel it just in time for what, Dominion? Like, I canceled the week before. I wasn't paying attention. Because I didn't really watch too much of it since Wrestle Kingdom because Access TV was covering it.
Oh, right.
So, but Access TV is going to cover the A block of the G1. Because that doesn't have Moxley in it. Because he can't be on US TV, I guess. I was listening to Observer Radio, and they were explaining.
Oh, okay.
He can't appear on US shows. Now, overseas, he can.
Oh. So, interesting.
Yeah, so he won't be in Dallas. So I guess they were trying to make that clear before anyone decided they were going to go to see him. But yeah.
That's kind of strange, considering that he just didn't re-sign a contract.
Well, he did sign with AEW, and that's part of the stipulation. He can work outside of dates as long as they don't interfere, but then he can't be on a show that's like distributed in the United States, whatever.
Oh.
I probably used the wrong term, but
okay.
Yeah. So
not aware of this news, but good to have.
Yeah, so you know.
But I'm in the same boat. Like, I do actually a somewhat terrible job of watching NXT. AIW's taken up a lot of time. New Japan, I still haven't really watched, although they still tape. Although I think that Women of Wrestling is over, thank God.
Thank God. That show sucked.
It was not good. Actually, I should just go ahead and delete those right now as we're talking here. And
I tried, man. And you know how much I love women's wrestling.
Yeah,
I tried.
I kept on trying to be positive about it. I'm just like, oh, the wrestling's pretty good, but the rest of this stuff is kind of trash. And yeah, like, just they couldn't, no matter how good the in-ring product was, they could not overcome the deficiencies of the writing.
Yeah, and the presentation was weird. Because I remember, like, the last time I watched, they were showing a girl, like, it was like a real interview, like a behind-the-scenes interview with her about her life and all this.
I actually like that part of the show.
Yes. Yeah, but then they come out and it's like Amber O'Neil and some other girl that are like the blah, blah, blahs. I'm going, what just happened?
Yeah, the Beverly Hills Babes, I think.
That would guess. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, sadly, I remember that.
Yeah, so it's like, it wasn't good. Like, make up your mind. And you got Tessa Blanchard, who's pretty good. She was fighting.
Oh, but yeah, she had Samoa Joe problem, where every promo was just her screaming into a microphone.
Yeah. By the way, Renee Young tweeted at Jon Moxley, hey, have you seen this match where Necro Butcher and Samoa Joe beat the hell out of each other for 12 minutes straight?
Oh, that was...
Did you see that match?
No.
Holy shit, dude. I've never seen it before. You have to watch it. It's about 12 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
You know, Necro Butcher was kind of... was one of the trash wrestlers, basically. Just fought and it bled.
Right.
It's funny because this video, it's 26 minutes long. But it's the match twice. And they actually, like, whoever put it up slowed it down. It looks like a legit fight the entire time. It really, I mean, seriously, looks like Joe is kicking him in the head. He does actually kick him in the side of the head. I think it was an accident.
Oh, my God.
But it looks like Joe's destroying him. And when they put it in slow motion, Joe's not even touching him.
Oh.
There's some contact, but what looks like it's a knee to the face is actually catching him, like, on the collar. And it's barely getting to him. But Necro Butcher's got that long hair, and he's bleeding like crazy because he does smack his head on the ground, which, And, I mean, it was nuts. The crowd's going crazy. It was like, it was Ian Rotten's thing.
Oh.
Whatever that was back then. And Punk is on commentary with Dave Prazak and Eddie Kingston. And it was pretty remarkable because, I mean, they're swearing and they're just into the match. So if you get a chance, just...
I saw the tweet, but A, I didn't realize it was to Jon Moxley. And I get, is the match within the tweet or the link to the match?
No, I'll find it real quick. I'll send it over to you now.
Cool.
But I was like, all right, because, you know, back then, you know, it was a different time, if you want to put it that way. So you had, like, people for, like, garbage wrestlers and all that sort of stuff for doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, now I see it, I just hate it. Like, I just watched Sami Callihan and, oh, shit, I know I'm going to get his name wrong. Manswarner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And I'm watching it, and I'm like, Mance Warner's all right. I don't understand the appeal of Sami Callihan at all. But they're just doing dumb shit. He pile drives him off the second rope through a table and gets a two count. I'm going, what are we doing? but it was just them hitting each other over the head with stuff. I'm like, aren't we past this? Like, doesn't everyone agree that that's not good for you, right? But yet they're still doing it, and it just
yeah,
took me out of it. Like,
yeah, there were a couple of, I was a little concerned about that. There were a couple of headshots to AIW show that I was like, yeah, people, like, we really should all agree, of course, and, you know, we can't all agree that vaccines are good, even though it's staved off numerous diseases. So,
Kevin, stop with your new age medicine bullshit. Polio vaccine, smallpox, whatever. Shut up.
So if we can't agree on that, I don't think everyone's ever going to agree on headshots for, you know, call me crazy.
There you go.
They should agree that headshots are fucking terrible. I took one
I've actually thought about that.
That resulted in a concussion. You can't go to yourself, because it's the same thing with, like, people are like, oh, I had no idea smoking was hurting my lungs. I'm like, motherfucker, I smoked for like a month, and my lungs felt like garbage. Like, I don't even want to hear that fucking nonsense. And like, I don't
smoking. Like, here's the thing. Sure, they put nicotine in to make it addictive, and it causes cancer. Well, here's the thing that I always go back to. If your house is on fire, what are you supposed to do? Get on your hands and knees so you can, if you can hopefully do this, crawl out so the smoke is above you. Now, you're stupid enough to spend money, which is apparently a lot of money now, put something in your mouth, catch it on fire, and suck the smoke into your lungs. We learned the other stuff in 6th and 7th grade. No, I'm sorry, when we were 6 or 7, not even that late. What changes? We get a buzz off of it. Be an adult and learn how to sneak a drink. I mean, or, you know, get your sneak game going. How dare you?
Find other drugs, man.
Find the kid that buys you the stuff, have a little nip here and there, and you're fine.
Take some mushrooms. Eat some edibles. Come on, man. Leave your lungs
alone. They didn't have edibles back then. No, yeah, we didn't. Yeah, so, yeah.
No.
That wouldn't have worked. Which is, by the way, that stuff is ridiculous. Which probably shouldn't talk about it, but...
The stuff we had
in school does not compare to the stuff that you can get now.
Oh, no. 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 And I may or may not have had some of those while in Colorado once. So I will at least have some coverage in that department.
Yes. It's amazing. You'll talk to people like, okay, I know this isn't wrestling, but whatever. It's amazing how way back you had to sneak around that stuff. Like, everybody had to sneak around that.
Oh.
Now, I mean, it's legal in some states. And then you just talk to, like, people like, oh, yeah, I make my own. I'm like, you're like the director of the company. What are you talking about? Like, it's pervasive now. Is this the word I'm looking for? It's like pervasive in culture. Like,
I guess we've been out of shape about
like celebrating 420. Hey, motherfucker, you've been doing this shit all the time. Yeah, holiday for. What's the matter with you? Like, be an adult. Just do your stuff like we all do. Anyways.
Yeah. So to get back to the headshots and the Necro Butcher and the Samoa Joe and the John Moxley. In the wrestling viewing, actually, is where we tangented it off. Honestly, the beginning.
I'm catching Impact. I started watching reality wrestling, Booker T's promotion.
Oh, I was like, holy shit! There's a reality TV show that.
Yes, and on Twitch, they have Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling, and AAA put some of their stuff on there. Now, I'm not going to say I watch AAA because you know my stance on Lucha Libre. So, that stuff's just shit. I'm sorry. It's never gotten better. It's all choreographed.
Oh. Yeah, there are some of the guys that I like, but there's still a lot of it where it's just like, oof, man. Because as much as I like Pentagon and Phoenix, they're basically always having a four-man match and not a tag team match.
Yes.
Which I guess is okay, but when you say, like, one of the best tag teams, it's like, nah, they don't wrestle like a tag team at all.
Yeah.
They wrestle like two singles wrestlers who are together. Like, Cesaro and Sheamus wrestled more like a tag team. Than Pentagon and Phoenix.
Yeah, but that stuff they do individually is really good, though.
Like,
it's like, oh, boy.
I enjoyed a lot of the matches, because, I mean, that was one of those things, well, you were talking about Impact, and it was something that I kind of thought about bringing up, and I'm going to now that we're kind of talking about them, I watched for like a month and a half straight there, right before I went to the tapings, and I had to laugh that I saw that Scarlett Bordeaux asked for and got her release from her contract.
See, I thought they denied it, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they released her.
I just kind of had to laugh because, like, that whole month and a half, like, that it led up to her debut there at, I think, were they calling it Double or Nothing, too, also?
No. I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of what the... Well, it had a gambling theme since they were in Vegas, and I was literally there, but I can't remember what the fuck it was called. But she debuted against Glenn Gilberti there, yes. A.K.A. Disco Inferno. And she seemed like an okay wrestler. I mean, there's still something like... Man, yeah, she... There are so many good women wrestlers now. It's just like, man, you are still lacking a smoothness. Like, you are a complete and utter smoke show, but... And she seemed to have some skills in the ring, but... Yeah, like, you can tell when there's not, like, a smoothness now, and she was 100% in that category. And I just kind of had to laugh when they're like... Because, I didn't realize that Killer Cross was dating her in the real world. And he's like, oh, she's not getting paid at all. Like, she's getting paid so little that she has to live at home with her parents. And I'm just like, well, motherfucker, didn't she sign the goddamn contract? Like, is she that dumb? Like, you can't have this both ways.
I've often wondered that, yeah.
You know, I can't feel bad for you if you signed a contract and you're like, man, this is good money, and then, like, all of a sudden there isn't any money, or, like, did you think it was all going to be upside, especially when you were switching to, like, you know, whatever fucking Outdoor Life network that they're on? Like, you couldn't have had warm and fuzzies about how much money you're going to be getting when your company keeps on moving down and down in network tiers.
And now your own, the network you're on is owned by the company that owns you, and they still mess up your...
Your feed?
Time. Yeah, your feed, thank you. No, I was like, even when Leo Rush, remember when he came out and said, like, he was broke or whatever?
Oh.
And somebody actually broke down, like, how much he gets paid every year?
Oh.
And Booker T goes, boy, you don't manage your money well. And it was Mark Henry that said it. He goes, you just don't manage your money well. You can't cry poverty on a $500,000 a year salary, which I think that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
And I don't understand, you got taxes, probably an agent, manager, whatever else. And then they pay for your flight, but you do have to pay for your room and all that crap. So, you know, just stuff like that. It's always weird.
Well, yeah, because you don't know how much they get paid, it's just kind of one of those things that just kind of makes it rough to... But, well, that and all the dummies that are just like, oh, I love to suffer in poverty. Like, it made it all worth it. I'm like, fuck you. Like, I wouldn't have done that. Like, I wouldn't have gone to a job to, like, basically not get paid. Like, I don't... in my recent job move, it was just like, oh, fuck, I was underpaid that much?
Yeah. My buddy... He just left our company for somewhere else. He's like, dude, it's a ridiculous pay raise. I'm like, don't tell me that. So, cause I've been with the same place. I actually said this out loud. I've been in the same place 16 years. And, yeah, that's whatever. So, but yeah, no, when it comes to stuff like that, I don't have a lot of sympathy. Because you're right. You look at the contract, like, maybe she signed a bad contract. And then even Killer Cross, he wanted out because he wasn't being paid what he thought he was worth. And it's like, well, this company, like, it's not like Impact is swimming in money.
Oh.
I mean, they're still in front of, like, 200 people, which I don't even know if that's paid.
Yeah, because that, that is the other thing, like, and really to draw from real life experience here to go continue on the job route here, like, there was a reason why I didn't push for raises a lot at my job. Like, I knew that things weren't peachy keen, but it was cool to have the free time and to work on graphics for Stunt Granny and all that fun stuff. Which, yeah, it was nice, but it's much better getting paid what I'm actually worth and having to, like, jam in this shit, like, after hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, all joking aside, you are there to actually work, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, that's, I don't know, I can't articulate what I want to say right now.
Yeah, it's so... But yeah, like, you... If you know what you're making on the indies, and you think that, and to get back to our example here, like, you're making X, and I don't know if Scarlett Bordeaux was on the indies or not, or what level of fame.
Yes, I actually looked her up.
Fame she had?
She debuted in Chikara.
Oh, okay. You know how much you're getting paid on the indies. Like, if Impact was a jump up, you know, if Impact wasn't a jump up, then why would you take the money?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, you know, there was another possible opening for me, and it was just like, if the people that I'm working for now hadn't offered the money that they did, I definitely would have taken another interview. And, it had to have been worth it, you know, to sign the contract, or, well, why else would you fucking sign the contract?
Yeah, but I also wonder sometimes with people who do that sort of thing, they sign it and go, well, I'm going to show them, and then they're going to give me more money.
No.
It's a nice fantasy, but it's not how things are anymore. You can't. Like, it was funny with, like, even, like, to get it to, like, someone different, like, even Heath Slater, going up to Shane, like, dude, I have kids, I need a raise. He said, no. I'm like, well, yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much life. You go to your boss. That's why self-employed is better. But yeah, it's like, the people in control don't want to pay you more.
Oh. It's just
plain and simple.
Right.
So you can't get mad when you go, well, I asked for a raise, and they said, no. Jerks, they don't even appreciate me. No, they don't. Welcome to life, dummy. I mean, hey, this is for anybody, not just her. I mean, even Killer Cross was complaining about the same thing.
Oh, Dad, yeah.
They're not paying him what he thinks he's worth. Who gives a damn what you think you're worth?
It goes back to what you were saying, and really what I experienced, too, when I was at that live show at Sam's Town Casino. Like, it's maybe an NXT crowd at best.
Yeah.
Like, an NXT house show. Like, I mean, that's 1,500 people at most. Like, you're not in a huge crowd, you know? Like, I don't know what he's getting paid, but, you know, you're not even selling out, like... Because I know there have got to be 5,000-seat places that they could possibly run. Like, because I don't think that they're ever going to run, you know, an actual arena. But I know that there are places in between where they run around here, or Sam's Town, which, you know, was the equivalent. And, you know, I know there are in between sized venues. And it's just
see that stuff on TV, and that room doesn't look very big. Like, for Impact... Their shows, I'm thinking that's like 200 people. That's it.
Yeah, well, at least when I was there in Vegas, it was definitely more than 200.
Okay.
I'm 1,500 would be a real top-out number. I don't think it was 1,500. Wow, okay. I would say it's probably closer to 1,000, maybe 1,200.
Well, that's significantly better than when they first bought it.
Again, I don't know where they regularly tape Impact, But like I said, this one happened to be in Vegas, and I don't know if that was every day, because they did 3 consecutive days of taping there, and I don't know if they got the same size crowd or not. But I mean, you know, they didn't exactly, like, I'm watching some old New Japan now, and they're showing the crowd. You know, they did not go out of their way to show the size of the crowd at any of the tapings that I went to. Which isn't really surprising, you know? Like, when you're playing a venue that small, you're just going to show the people that are completely geeked, like, along the aisles, and then that's it.
Yeah. And that's fine, because I...
But again, you know, to go back to the... If you know that that's what your crowd is, I don't know what Killer Cross is getting paid, but, like, you've got to know that that crowd is not going to support what race more than likely you want. Yeah. So, I mean, A, you have the problem with management, and B, like, you've just got to be practical, too.
I also wonder if, like, his is a ploy. Like, maybe he found out WWE might be interested, because, you know, you'll make more money in NXT than you will in Impact. Or maybe New Japan. Like, it's because they love their white girls in New Japan. So, you know, they haven't had one since Maria left, I believe.
Oh, but they don't wrestle either. I mean, I don't know if she'd be up for just doing valet work.
Hey, true, but if the money's good, and also if you work New Japan, you can work indies too. So it's not like, you know, she's stuck just being a valet.
This is a good point. but I mean, I guess I do like Killer Cross. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was in the WWE at some juncture? In developmental?
I don't know much about him other than he appeared on Lucha Underground. And that's over. So...
Oh.
I really don't know much about him. I saw him a few times on Impact. I don't watch Impact every week, but...
Right.
I don't know. I thought he was fine. To me, it just looked like another big man. With tattoos. So... He could be much more. This is just my own ignorance on this one.
I think he can cut a pretty decent promo. I think that he doesn't always... he isn't always the smart heel that he presents himself as.
Now, is he coming... Is he... If I remember right, he was with Johnny Impact. Yeah, Johnny Impact. But then, wasn't he presenting himself as, like, kind of a playboy of some sort? Like, wearing suits and all that sort of thing? Or am I confusing that with Lucha?
You know, I can't... No, I... Because after the tapings I went to, I know... Well, I only have Impact taping 5 episodes, and if I don't get to it by the time the next one rolls around, it just gets erased on my DVR. And I haven't watched in probably, you know, 2 months, I guess, at this point. So I'm trying to remember... Well, of course, we went to Vegas, and then those episodes didn't air for, like, another month and a half. So, I probably haven't missed that many episodes. But I haven't really seen him with John. They joined up right at the tapings that I was at. And I haven't watched since. So,
I'm just looking him up to see if...
I don't know what his...
He's in AAA as well. So...
Oh, gotcha.
I'm trying to see where if he was in WWE or not. Global Force, Lucha. No, it doesn't appear so.
Oh, okay. I thought I had read that on the...
Well, I mean, it's a safe bet, to be completely honest, so...
Yeah. I can't believe we talked about those chuckleheads for, like, at least 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, what the fuck are we supposed to talk about? Oh, alright, so WWE's really good? I mean... That's simply not going to happen.
That's so true, too.
honestly, the focus of our shows, and I know Shahid's not quite into, like, New Japan. He's definitely not into all these other wrestling shows like I am. So basically our shows are WWE-centric, or lean heavily on that stuff, right?
Right.
But no, so it's fine to cover something else. And really, with AEW coming on the scene... They've kind of given, like, I don't want to say stability, that's not the right word. But until they get going, there's not a lot to be said for them other than their shows. And, like, they've got their Being the Elite still doing it. You got, gosh, I can't remember the name. It was Road to Double or Nothing. Whatever Cody Rhodes
Oh, yeah. Whatever they're... Oh, it's Road to Fighter Fest now.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're just changing it to the next event. Yeah. But, yeah, because I know that Chris and I have kind of covered that a couple times. It's just, like, you can kind of say a little bit about it, but until they're on TV on a weekly basis, like, there's only so much that you can say. Like, as much as it's nice to advance storylines on a 15 to 20 minute show on YouTube, yeah, like, it's still a pretty limited view of things, and it's not, like, everyone on your roster and how things are going to work when you need to run back-to-back feuds.
But at the same time, the stuff they're doing, it's still better than WWE stuff. And when I say WWE, I want to make it very clear. I mean WWE, not NXT, not NXT UK, and for the most part, not 205 Live. I'm not, like, you know, diehard keeping up with that every week. The shows I've seen with 205 Live, they don't even care about story half the time. It's just wrestling. It is pretty cool. So it's nice to see some of the, like, the talent that they don't use that they should be using. I'm sorry. No, I guess I need to back away from that. They are using the talent they have. They're using them on 205 Live. So.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. That I was just like, oh, great. Ali got called up. I mean, I know part of the problem with him being off TV is the fact that he was injured for part of it, but since he's come back from his injury...
Where is he? It was funny, because when I did the show with Chris actually saw them. At one point, thought that Mansoor was Ali. Because at first glance, they're like, man, they had the exact same build, same long hair, same skin tone, all that stuff. And I'm like, it's like, there ain't nothing wrong with that. People look the same, so. But yeah, no, it's like Ali's push is just dead. Really?
Yeah, it's... Well, and I kind of botched it. It's kind of why Shahid was making fun of my one tweet. And it's something that we've covered a decent chunk of, Chris and I. Just the fact that Shane McMahon is your top heel in the company, like, it's just like, if you guys would invest this much time in one of your wrestlers, it would really help your product way more than investing that in a 50-year-old Shane McMahon who no one is buying as a good wrestler. And you still have this weird spot. Like, that was another one of those weird things on SmackDown. Like, because of this brand swapping thing that they have going on, the wild card. It's just kind of led back to, well, like you said it, like, it's Raw and SmackDown are almost the same show now.
Tonight was a great example. I honestly, Kevin and Owens and Sami Zayn were on SmackDown. I had no idea. I thought that they were on Raw.
No, just Sami, because they keep on saying that Sami Zayn is the wild card. But I mean, they have so many people swap shows at this point. Like, I know there's supposed to only be four, but I don't feel like it's four anymore, because then they count, like, the Usos as one. Like,
or all three members of the New Day is one.
Right. Yeah.
And then who else? Like, Seth Rollins finally showed up. He was one of the only people that hadn't been a wild card so far. I think who else was there?
Yeah, because they
the
did
Miz,
not...
The Miz is on Raw. He was there.
Yep.
Drew McIntyre. Is Elias... Elias is on SmackDown.
Yeah, Elias is SmackDown. Right. Like, I mean, and that's how bad it is. Like, they just got done with the brand draft or whatever the fuck they called it this time around. And then they introduced the wild card, and it's just like impossible to keep track of who's who. Yeah. Or who's supposed to be on which brand. And I, again, to kind of get back to my main point, that, you know, they're just kind of recycling stories. And it's just like, it's not helping anyone. Like, people like Ali are getting squeezed off of shows because we need even more Sami Zayn. And it's just like, no. Like, as much as I like Sami, we don't need more Sami. I'd rather a segment with Ali. I'd rather something more happen with Aleister Black than him just week after week challenging people for fucking... I mean,
that's got to be Randy Orton that answers the challenge, right? Because all the people, like, we mentioned a bunch of people haven't been on. Where's Randy been since Super Showdown? Yep. Besides counting his paychecks and going on vacation with his new wife. Well, not even new wife by this point, but I honestly think he's just checked totally out.
Oh.
He's like, yeah, I'll wrestle a match, whatever. You don't want me on TV? Cool. I'll stay home. Keep paying me. I'll keep doing my stuff.
Yeah. He's what Brock Lesnar should be. He shows up slightly more often, but still basically has the same schedule, and people don't shit on him for not being there all the time.
Yeah. Yep, because it's never pointed out that it's that way. Yeah. Well, hell,
He's got the best of both worlds.
Well, he was back real quick this week. But I know it's like his mother died. His mother and grandmother died, so that's why he's been gone.
Oh, okay.
But he's barely been on. Apollo Crews apparently is on SmackDown. I forgot all about him. Wasn't there a guy named Cedric Alexander?
Oh, he gets to keep on running after R-Truth.
Is he one of those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Poor Cedric.
Yeah.
And then, the best thing about 205 Live, Buddy Murphy? Okay. Nowhere to be found.
Oh.
not even an insert clip. I mean, nothing. But yeah, we get another match on SmackDown was garbage outside of a couple segments.
Oh.
I really enjoyed the Dolph Xavier match because I told Elise, that's the longest Xavier Woods match I think I've ever seen.
Oh.
Singles, for sure.
That's been a. You know, there are just so many times where I'm like, I don't even understand. Like, I love when, you know, someone like Edge is like, oh, just work harder. And you'll get rewarded. And it's just like, every time I've seen Xavier in an extended singles match, he's done great. And then he just gets to be a guy playing the trombone for the next 3 months.
I don't know. It's like I always say, they're getting paid not to get beat up.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. And that guy's probably making a shit ton of money off of Up, Up, Down, Down.
Oh, hell, even before that, New Day. I mean, New Day just making money, basically. I mean, printing money, I should say, still.
Yeah, merch-wise.
But yeah, and I think Big E's still hurt, but when's the last time he did something? So, I don't know, this is just SmackDown. We didn't even get to the women. Who are the SmackDown women? Because Alexa Bliss is not one of them. You've got Charlotte, Bayley.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because tonight was one of the few nights that I'm just like, oh, did you decide to give women personalities tonight? Because, the Kabuki Warriors were on with Paige, even though both of us were not listening to them. Talk to the Iconics. And the Iconics have finally, at least for the last 2 weeks, shown up on WWE TV more often than, you know, they have since WrestleMania, I guess. Like, I don't even know what standard I can apply because they haven't really been on TV since WrestleMania. And at least the last 2 weeks, they've been on three times, I think, if if my count's correct, in the past 2 weeks. So, in the whole...
Weren't we talking about when they said there were going to be women's tag titles? Didn't we say, do we have enough women? And then second, do we have enough time for a women's tag team champions? When was the last time those belts were defended?
Oh, didn't they defend them against the local
talent? Oh, that's right.
Talent?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Just Monday they did.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, but I mean, that was still more of... If they'd been doing... And that's one of those things where Corey Graves... I don't know what... I mean, I think part of it is message sender. Part of it's like... You still have some weird obsession with Sasha Banks. Like, I don't know if he wants to fuck her. I know that he's with Carmella, but, you know, like, he rails against Sasha Banks like nobody's business. And that's the only thing I can come up with. Like, I just feel like he has a lot of extra venom for her that, you know, he's not just working the angle.
Yeah.
And he's just delighting in saying that the Iconics are the longest reigning women's tag team champions. And it's still one of those things. It's just like, and to kind of get back to where I was going there, if they had at least been defending the belt, even just on SmackDown against local talent every week since WrestleMania, you could kind of see him trumpeting that line and it being more effective because they've just been beating, you know, local talent and not anyone that's in the WWE and trying to hide from people. But when they don't come on TV at all, like, you just don't have any leg to stand on. Like, you just sound fucking ridiculous saying this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's, all right, see, and I think that's a dig. Graves is smart enough to say some stuff like that, and I also wonder if someone feed them that line. But then also, doesn't that kind of work as like a dig at Sasha as well?
Well, and that's what I mean. Like, I think he's delighting in it because he gets to make fun of Sasha. But it doesn't work because the Iconics haven't been on TV. Like, basically at all. So it's just like, okay, I get it. You fucking hate Sasha Banks. Like, I've had 5 years to figure out, or however long Sasha's been on the main roster, that you don't like Sasha Banks. You know, like, that doesn't help the Iconics at all either. You know, it's just like, oh great, I get to rip on Sasha more. Like, it doesn't provide them with anything positive. You know, and that's a problem. You know, like, the heels, in order for them to kind of get some traction, like, it really, you know, there's got to be some bite to it. And it's just like, it's just insulting Sasha Banks and not helping them. So it's just like, great. Fit. You know?
Yeah. But no, it's... Oversaturation of certain characters is a huge problem still. Like, Seth Rollins is in almost every segment last night, I think. Then he had a match. Then he's on SmackDown tonight. Then he's got a tag team match. And it's like, oof. Okay. Kofi was on last night. Now he's on tonight. And I know people bring up like The Rock or Stone Cold. And they were on all the shows all the time. Man, people couldn't get enough wrestling back then. This is what, and now, right now, you kind of have to like pull back a little bit. Like, make people want to crave to see these guys. And then when they do get to see them, make sure they've got something to say. But I think that's why I like that Bayley Alexa thing.
Oh.
Because it was like old-time SmackDown where everyone's a dick. Bailey was a dick, Alexa was a dick, and Nikki's kind of caught in the middle. And I'm really looking forward to when Nikki finally she figures out like what's going on.
Oh.
And she goes back to being crazy ass Nikki Cross, like, cuz she got screwed over and you know, and that's it. It's back to being crazy again. Cause...
Yeah. It is a nice kind of turn of character, or even just to kind of have, if they're going that route, to have an origin story for why she's crazy instead of just, you know, I mean, they rely so often on people knowing what is happening in NXT, but there's still a large, at least half of their audience that doesn't know what's happening in NXT.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and that's one of those things with both Bailey, because it's just like, Bailey's finally getting a character. Again, like, it's been at least 3 years since all of that, or no, she got left behind, didn't she? In NXT for like an extra 6 months or so.
Yeah, well, remember she came up and went back down. Well, yeah, but it was, you know, Charlotte, Becky,
and Sasha
that got the call.
Yeah, but, you know, and Alexa says, she's like, oh, you peaked in NXT, and it's just like, it's another one of those situations where you've done a piss poor, like, I should take a drink every time the WWE points out their own shortcomings, because I'd probably be fucking hammered by the end of a show. Like, it would be worse than Iron Chef drinking game, because that's another one. She's like, oh, you, Bliss is like, you talked out in NXT, and it's just like, is it her fault that the WWE's written her absolute fucking garbage for like 3 years? No, it isn't. And I mean,
well, but if you're Edge, that means you just gotta try harder.
Oh,
I'm just using Edge as an example, but
yeah,
go for that ring. It's like whatever. So this was interesting.
Yeah.
Did you listen to? I'm not used to saying John Moxley, but did you listen to John Moxley on Chris Jericho's podcast?
Yeah.
Did you notice anything about that promo Elias did yesterday? When he was calling like the vacant people or vapid people of Los Angeles.
Oh, I don't know. Like that, I glazed over by it's just you're saying the same shit about LA that people have said for like I don't know since before I was born.
Yeah,
and it's just like I'm done. Like I don't give a fuck. If everyone in LA is vapid and just worried about their looks, fine, fuck, whatever. Like and then they ended up having three promos exactly the same as Elias's. Because didn't Elias... Yeah, Elias started the show, so at least his was fresh. But then when you have two other people do the same thing, the promos just kind of blended together for me.
Well, what's funny about his promo is... John Moxley was complaining about WWE writing him a promo from when they were in Los Angeles. Apparently, the promo Elias gave was the promo that McMahon and all them wanted him to do like after he turned heel on Roman. It's the exact same one. Like, how funny is that? Like, they still thought it was that good enough that they saved it.
I'm about ready to pause the show and go get more Whiskey Rebellion.
Uh-oh.
I'm not really going to, but...
Oh. But yeah, but that's what they did. They saved the goddamn promo.
I guess I did not realize that.
Yes.
Because, like I said... I
had no idea, but the Wrestling Observer pointed that one out.
I had glazed over about halfway through that thing. I'm like, fuck, whatever, man. Just...
It wasn't terrible, you know? But it wasn't that great either.
No.
Yeah. So it's like, whatever. It's just another promo where you just go, whatever. Like,
hey.
I don't know. Can we just have, like, go back to Elias making fun of, like, whatever town he's in and singing a song? Because that's what he did. The Honky Tonk Man wasn't out there doing this sort of stuff. And he's supposed to be the modern day Honky Tonk Man. Well, fucking let him be the modern day Honky Tonk Man already. Don't let him. Don't have him do this stuff. But I know Elias isn't cool, cocky, and bad. I get it, but still.
Yeah, I mean. Just, I cannot express the disdain that I had for all. Because I'm trying to look at who else ended up giving the same promo in the same night. And it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Just, I'm done.
Oh, I forgot to ask you this. I asked you if you'd seen it. Did you see the WWE's YouTube video about their writing staff and what they do? It was on YouTube.
No.
Somebody either did it ahead of time or did it after the fact. They turned the comments off on the video. Because I got a match, they were getting fucking destroyed with that because it was terrible. They're bragging about the amount of hours they write. They were showing like someone printing off scripts and all this stuff. And I'm going, none of this is necessary. None of that stuff's necessary, but. I think you have a large corporation to go, and you probably need some people that, you know, well, that's what agents are for.
Yeah,
agents go over the map, go over the match, and go over some of your promos with you. And be like, all right, this is where the storyline's supposed to go. Cool.
Yeah, that's where there's one of those things where. I feel like if you've ever been creative, you realize that you don't always have ideas.
Right.
And that's where, to me, some of the stuff that Moxley pointed out, and it does seem kind of obvious that they need to let people do their own shit. Like, I mean, the Rock stuff was at least somewhat written back in the day.
Yes, he had a Patrice O'Neal.
Yeah.
He had writers, yes.
Yeah, well, and the chance they're going to have someone else the quality of Patrice O'Neal and or Brian Gewirtz at this point, like...
Oh, and the Rock, let's not discount.
Yeah, and someone that's that good of a talker, you know... It was a perfect storm that's never going to... probably never going to happen again.
Oh, there's no chance in hell it'll ever happen again. Not in WWE, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so I mean, I do think that there is a need for writers. Like, I don't think it's like, fuck all the writers. But just the level of, it did seem like there was a level of too much of a pain in the ass that Moxley was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Which... isn't surprising in any corporation. Again, to go back to the whole job thing, like, oh, holy shit. Sonata without a beard. Goddamn, man. But, anyway, yeah, you're gonna have some block on what you think your character should do, so, I mean, I do think that they need some writers to move things along, but I mean, they have, like, this giant staff, and it's not necessary. Like, as much wrestling as the WWE produces, like you said, like, it doesn't sound like they do any writing for 205 Live. Like, it's basically just the main TV shows. Like, as much as I like NXT, like, I've always said that the characters are not that well-developed on NXT. Like, yeah. Velveteen Dream to me is like, to me, he's the ultimate character that's been developed in NXT. Like, he's the only one that, to me, he has a full-on personality, like, full-on gimmick that can just kind of come up without... I mean, obviously he'll make adjustments because he does for every opponent that he has. But, like, they don't really need to change a whole lot with him to keep him going.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder how he'll be on the main roster if... It's got to happen eventually. Like, I see some of these guys in NXT and I just go, there's no chance they're going to work on the main roster. And I know Gargano's on the list that possibly is going to be getting called up. So,
yeah, he kind of got screwed because someone else got injured. Jesus Christ, like, it's the Dolph Ziggler story all over again. Oh,
yeah, but it's like,
sorry that my opponent kicked me in the head. I apologize for that. I shouldn't have had that happen. I should have protected myself better. But yeah, I mean, Ciampa gets injured and Gargano kind of loses that. As much as I made fun of Aleister Black, I mean, I guess at least he's on TV every week. Like, that's more than I'd say for Andrade, who I kind of mentioned in the same breath. Like, that guy gets 3 weeks on TV and then 3 weeks off. And that does him zero favors.
Yeah. Well, like I said, at least this time around, it's because one of his relatives died. So, you know, that's why he's been gone, because you keep hearing about how, oh, they love him back there. They love him. It's like, oh, that's kind of a weird way of showing it. So
yeah, never consistently pushing him and making him lose pretty much every feud that he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like
Bray Wyatt.
And then they're going to randomly give him a championship reign just because.
Yeah, man, we didn't even mention Rusev and Nakamura.
Who?
Exactly. So, one of the more popular guys they decided to make heel, and then Nakamura, who, you know, that wasn't such a bad thing when they turned him heel. It just fizzled, and now where's he? And I guarantee you, it's because of the way he speaks.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's not like we'd said before, that we didn't get, like, what the big deal was with him. And apparently we never got to see, like, the Nakamura that they signed. We got the Nakamura that they got. So...
Oh, yeah, like, and I guess that's one of those things that, because I have been... New Japan has been similar to, I was talking about Archer recording all the different seasons before the show started. But New Japan, like, all of the Access shows are taping for me now. And I'm catching a lot of the older stuff.
Okay.
That, and I mean, like, some of the stuff from last year I'm not really watching since I was more familiarized with it, especially, like, the, you know, the Bullet Club having problems and things of that nature. But I've seen some other older Nakamura matches, and I'm just like, I know that I had just caught him at Wrestle Kingdom for, you know, like 3 or 4 years. But I'm kind of filling in, like, the Dominions and, you know, some of his other appearances, and I'm like, God damn, man. Like, how is this, like, I'm just sitting there going, how is this not working in the WWE? Like, I'm confused. Like, I understand he doesn't speak good English, even though he speaks English. But it's just, I don't get it. Like, and I've said it with Asuka before, too. Like, when they let let anyone from a foreign country speak their native tongue, like, to me, they always emote better. So, like, even if they have part English and then they kind of freak out in Spanish, Japanese, whatever. I mean, those are kind of the two main languages at this point. But,
yeah,
you know, I can just feel their emotion just from them talking in their own language. And it's just, there are ways to get around it. And the WWE doesn't always seem interested in getting around it at all.
Oh, not at all. No, remember a few weeks ago, God, maybe a month or two ago now, but when Andrade cut his promo in Spanish, I texted Shaheed, and I go, let this man cut a promo in Spanish every time. And you know what? Put subtitles up. If honestly, everyone's got the capability now, or just do it yourself. I mean, I guess because it's live, it'd be maybe a little bit harder, but closed captioning's live.
I was going to say, we just talked about how scripted their promos are.
Oh, yeah,
like,
duh.
I don't think they're out there winging it.
Yeah, so then, that seems like an effective way of using your writers, and use, like, I hate, like, saying, like, oh, modern technology, but it's like, goddamn, man. Let them do what they're supposed to, or, like, what they're born to do, literally born to do in this case, you know? So.
I don't get it. There's just a lot going on that, could really be of benefit just to the WWE in general that is, like, sitting there right in front of them and they're not taking it. And it's baffling, man. It's just completely baffling. Because, we've kind of been talking about the variety of wrestling that we've been watching. And, I mean, they're concentrating more and more on just, like, a couple of people with this whole wild card change. And, I mean, that's not a good thing. Like, we didn't even get around to it, but we were talking about the women on SmackDown. Like, I'm not sure the last time, well, I should say it. I'm kind of sure of the last time that Ember Moon was on TV. But, again, it's another one that she's been off TV more than she's been on TV.
Well, remember, she did get hurt. So I'm thinking with her, that's why she was off. That's, I also think she may not be totally 100. So they're just keeping her, off. They're keeping her on TV in, like, little backstage segments, and that's it. Until she's, like, properly healed. Now, I haven't checked any house show reports, so I could be talking out of my ass on that one.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of a problem that I have, is that, just in general, because there is zero news on any websites aside from Figure Four Online, and I don't subscribe to it, like, I don't know who's injured and who isn't at any given time, like, because the WWE doesn't acknowledge it on TV. And they don't even acknowledge it, like, on social media or anything like that. Like, it would really, to have some type of an injury report would really help explain, like, why certain people aren't on TV.
Well, like, their reasoning has always been, they're not around, so don't worry about them. Because they just want you to forget they exist. Because, like, why would we update somebody that's not going to be around? I'm not saying I agree with it, but that's their thinking. And it's like,
why would we be interested in people that we're interested in?
Why would we be interested in people that I'm supposed to be invested in? But
yeah, like, I mean, I understand that, and at least to go to sports for a little bit, I guess that isn't the same situation. But, at least there's an injury report, so you know if someone isn't going to be playing, and you're like, oh, that sucks, but you know that it impacts your team. And it's just something that I didn't know that Ember Moon was injured. I didn't really know that, who'd you say, Akam from AOP?
I believe it was Akam. Is he the...
The smaller of the two, I think?
Okay. It's silly as that sounds.
Smaller of the two monsters?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the smaller.
He's the only
King Kong Jr. of the King Kong. So.
Yeah, he's only 6'4". He's not 6'7". Good God. Yeah.
But yeah. So those guys, even when they were up, they had Drake Maverick as their manager for some reason.
Again, no one can speak English in that group, so we've got to have someone.
Fine, they just don't. They were supposed to be the silent guys. They let. Oh God.
Paul Ellering didn't even do that much talking for them. Honestly, yeah, I mean,
they would spout off in is it Aramaic?
No, the one's Croatian.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to assume that he's speaking Croat or whatever exactly that language is.
Yeah, they would do their thing, and then they would talk in English real quick. And it's like, for a company that prides itself, you know, whatever their words, but they want to be at the forefront of change. They want to be a global company. They want to be a worldwide force. Well, then you sure as shit don't embrace, like, other cultures' differences.
Oh.
All right. So
the only thing that they embrace is
Chinese. Not everyone's John Cena. You're going to struggle with that.
They just embrace taking other cultures' money is what they embrace.
Yeah. You're going to be at the forefront of that line to take your money out of your pockets. So, I mean, they are a business, but they are a business, so, you know, that's what you do. Oh. But, now, that always drives me crazy. I mean,
yeah.
Especially when you just know the reason why.
the main boss is a racist, but loves MLK for...
I don't even know if the guy's a racist, or... If is xenophobic does that work in this case?
That could work.
No, I'm sorry. No, xenophobic doesn't work in this. What I was going to go for is, I think it's actually the reverse of racism. I think he thinks that the American audience or English speaking audiences will look at these guys and women and go, they're speaking broken English. People are never going to get behind them. I think that's it. So I don't know. I don't think that's racist. I think that's making assumptions. For sure.
Making assumptions about your audience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. That, yeah. He doesn't necessarily think it, but he thinks that people think it, so that's the way that it is.
I mean, and as far as we know, Vince McMahon's a goddamn redneck anyways. So maybe there's some credence to that stuff. But, you know, it's like, you want to say that you're like socially changing and times are changing, you know, we're going to, the greatest line ever, we're going to be at the forefront of the change of Saudi Arabia. It's like, shut the fuck up. But I just love the fact that they're at the forefront. And I'm still going to go with I've been saying it, this falsehood of the women's evolution. If that's not any, like, as we've complained that this team's not used, these people don't do anything, if that isn't crystal clear by now, that is all lip service, because there's no Evolution pay-per-view coming up.
Oh.
There's no women's pay-per-view on the docket.
Yeah, well, and this is something that Chris and I have talked about that kind of ties into the women. The WWE, and I don't know if it is Vince McMahon personally, but they don't care about tag team wrestling. They just...
Oh, no.
Like, there are the little spikes, and we just had a little spike with the Usos and New Day and Cesaro and Sheamus. Unfortunately for the Revival, they are completely fucked out of this whole situation. And
they're the tag team champions.
Great. Fuck them. Serious. Like I mean, I've never... There isn't, to me, a tag team that's been that hyped and has had to deliver so little for the internet audience to be happy for them. Like, I really don't, like... They had some good matches with AOP and shockingly, with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, who most people now agree has had the best feud for like 2 years running straight, basically. Yeah. So, like, great.
Jordan and Gable.
Yeah, and Jordan and Gable. So you had great matches against an Olympic wrestler, and Gargano and Ciampa are, like, two of the best wrestlers, period, on the planet. Yeah, great. You doughy fucks. You had great matches against great opponents. Congratulations.
I didn't know you had this much venom for the revival.
They're to the point where they're overhyped on the internet, I guess, at least. So I don't fucking like them for that reason. Like, and their characters right now suck. Like, they're hangers on for Shane McMahon and
yeah,
Drew Galloway, again. Shane McMahon is the most overrated top heel in the WWE company in ever. If not ever, like, at least the last 10 years. And Drew McIntyre hasn't won a single important match since he's been back. Like, and they've, like, started to push him like a badass heel and then stopped. And then started for, like, two matches and then stopped for, like, four straight matches again. Like, that guy hasn't done squat. And all in the name of Shane McMahon. So, I mean, I guess that's part of my problem with the revival. Like, they're hangers-on for a shitty act.
Yeah, but again, I guess, like, at least they're getting on TV. I mean, I don't know.
That's the most
positive. There's a positive of that, but they're heels. So,
but then they also got the tag team champions got destroyed by one guy today or this week.
I understand that. There is a positive there, though.
Oh, they got their asses kicked?
Yes, Roman finally did something.
Oh,
like when he came out and was moping around saying, "Well, you know, it hasn't been my week and this and this," and I'm going. Okay, and I know this is, like, the easy comparisons to do, but and do you think his cousin, The Rock, would come out and go, "Well, they got one over on me," and no, he'd go and beat the hell out of him. So what happened? He actually went and beat the hell out of everybody, and I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, cool, and I know it's Roman, and you can already hear the boos again, too, which...
Oh.
It's not a surprise, to be honest, but... But no, it's like, yes... No, don't sit there and pout about it. No, who wants to see that? So he's out there. I mean, he beats everyone's ass. And I know it's kind of weird to do that before a match and all that, but whatever.
And I guess that was the other problem I had with it. Like, he lays out his opponent for Sunday. And I'm like, So I'm supposed to, A, McIntyre lost to him at WrestleMania and pretty well got his ass handed to him in the process. B, Reigns took out the tag team champions, then took out Drew McIntyre, and he's supposed to be a threat to Roman Reigns? Like, he took out two people ahead of him and still whooped McIntyre's ass. Like, that's supposed to sell me on a match? Really?
I mean, you're not wrong. I'm still trying to sign on the positive that a babyface didn't whine. Here she went and did something about it for a change. Because how many times are you guys like, oh... Remember all those things, this is my life, this is my dream, I don't know what I'd do without this place, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we're Burger King, asshole. Like, come on, be a man, or a woman, be an adult.
Yeah.
It's an easier way of getting around that now, it's just like, be an adult.
I guess I would just think that a 4-on-1, I mean, I know that normally the baby face gets the upper hand, but... At some point, Reigns should have gotten his ass kicked. Like, I didn't understand why McIntyre didn't come back into the ring while he was beating up Shane and whoop Reigns.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. Fair question. So, I don't know.
So,
I don't know. It's just trying to take, like, a positive out of it is all. But the Revival did do something really funny last night, though. Did you catch it? It wasn't actually that subtle, but, Drew was offering Heath money. And when he beat him up, he dropped the money on the ground. So what did Dash and Dawson do? They picked up the money as they were beating up Heath Slater and put it in their pockets. They took the money.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of clever, actually. So
that's how poorly they're being paid. They need to take Drew McIntyre's money.
Yeah.
It's a statement about their contract status that they're trying to get out of.
Hey, how long have we been going, by the way?
Oh, a long time.
All right. So I guess we should get out of here. I've been trying to salvage something positive for a while, but it's been kind of falling apart.
Oh, me freaking out about the revival really did not help matters.
No, it didn't really. But here's something funny. So I'm watching, I just turned on the Big Ten Network, and it has Michigan Football Classic on. You know, they do those, like, whatever schools always have their classic game.
Yeah.
This is the Rich Rod era for Michigan.
Oh, jeez.
And it's the Wisconsin-Michigan game from years ago.
Oh, I thought this was the Appalachian State game.
It's his first year, I think. Yeah, because Stephen Three is the quarterback. And I remember this game because they played like garbage for most of it. That's interference. Sorry. Forced to have it. I'm seriously sorry about that. But this game is boring as hell. They're showing people sitting in the stands like, what's going on? And then they get lucky and win. Like, at the time, of course, I was very excited by it, but...
Right.
I'm still going to watch it, so whatever. So... Yeah, I'm ready for football season to get here because all the other sports are over, so...
Yeah, I mean, I keep an eye on baseball, but whatever. It's just an eye. So yeah, no hockey.
Nope. How about them Blues?
Boston. Yeah, that's what I said. I was rooting for the Blues in and of the fact that they weren't Boston.
Yes.
Like, that was why I was cheering for you. That is the list of reasons.
All right. Well.
So we're just going to wrap up at random. At DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze.
Yep.
The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.